Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Jesus is good. I love him.
Amen.
I've declared my love for him. I'm not ashamed of it. Praise God. He's faithful, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you glad that he's faithful when we're not?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if the Lord treated us like we treat people or people treat us, man, we'd be in trouble.
Yes.
He forgives us. He's merciful. He's kind. He's so loving. And good Lord, thank you so much, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open. We'll start, I guess, in Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I sent out the slick text letting you know where we were going tonight. And, of course, before the coronavirus, all that mess happened, you know, we had had you submit Ask the Pastor questions. You know, things about the Bible, things maybe you're stuck on and want help. Not that I know everything, but it gave me time, you know, to... And there were some questions I didn't know the answer to. And how many of you know I don't know everything? There's way more I don't know than I do know. But the Bible has the answer, praise God, I'm thankful for it. So, but then that whole mess happened and it kind of been delayed to answer some of those. But it seemed good in my heart to look through those. And a bunch of them centered around one topic. And I had a green light to preach on this. So we'll talk about that in a second. But let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for the Word of God. It's increased to us. The Word represents opportunity for more. The Word represents opportunity for us to go higher, and so we welcome it tonight. We welcome boldness. We welcome utterance. We thank you for that I'll speak as the oracles of God tonight. And Father, I thank you that words will flow from me from heaven. We're not here because I'm brilliant and I have some great thing and plan to help people, Father. No, we're here for you, Father. We exalt and magnify you, not the name on the building, not the person behind the pulpit. It's your word. It's the Spirit of God. It's Jesus. It's you, Father. It's without those, we're nothing. And so we thank you tonight for helping us. We say bullseyes will be hit in our hearts. And we're going forward into more and going forward into increase. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there was many questions about the biblical topic, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And you know, a lot of times you even say the phrase speaking in tongues in church. And if you're not taught right, or if you grew up in a what I call, you know, the granola zone.
Yeah.
You ever been to the granola zone of churches? The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. There's granola churches out there. And what are granola churches? Well, they just go by feeling. They just go by what they want to do. They just go by what they think, what they feel, and what somebody has told them. And basically, a granola church is a church outside the boundaries of the Bible. And we don't want to be fruity, flaky, and nutty, because that's over there in the right side of the ditch and the left side of the ditch, but there's a center of the road. And Paul told Timothy this. He said, rightly divide the word of God. Well, if you can rightly divide it, you certainly can wrongly divide it. But people wrongly divide it. You know, God, this stuff isn't a mystery in the sense that God didn't put this in here for us to try to then... Well, I wonder what that means. No, he loves us and he's clear in his directions. People with their own agendas and things, you know, they take it and twist things and confuse things. But God's clear, and this is no different, the subject of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And I just want to say, you know, this first of all, if you're not familiar with this topic, if it's something that you already have preconceived ideas or notions about, or you've been places, maybe they abused this and it turned you off of even wanting to attend a church that would talk about this. I've taught so much on that in the 10 years, you know. You can go back to the archives, and if you don't want to search through them, I'll search through them for you. You just let me know, and I'll get you the dates. But we've taught whole series on this. We've had 2.5-hour classes on it where we go through the Bible and show you, what does God think about this? What does God think about this thing called the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What does God think about speaking in tongues? Because who cares what grandma thinks? Who cares what coworker so-and-so thinks? Who cares what preacher... Who cares what preacher so-and-so thinks if it's not the Bible? And so if you're unsure, I don't have time to teach the validity of it and what it is tonight. We only have time to go over these specific questions that were asked. But I do want to stress to you, if it is new to you, it's not something that you want to leave on the shelf. In fact, it was something that Jesus commanded the early church to not leave home without. He said, make sure you get this. Why? Because it came with power. It came with an ability that they didn't have beforehand. I mean, you look at Peter. Peter, before he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he spoke in tongues, Acts chapter 2 tells us that. He was denying Jesus to a little girl in the courtyard before Jesus was taken captive that night. Peter was just such a wuss, you know. He denied he even knew Jesus three times. And, you know, after Jesus dies and raises again and Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost, he turned into a lion. He was willing to go to die for Jesus. He didn't care who knew. He preached to thousands of people. Well, pre-filled with the Holy Ghost, post-filled with the Holy Ghost comes with power. But just to mention what it is to you before we go forward to answer these questions, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what speaking in tongues is. Just plain and simple what it is. I'll give you the scripture references. We don't have to turn there. But just to kind of get an idea, what's he talking about, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's a separate experience that's available to believers after salvation. Everybody that received the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts that the Bible talks about, and when Jesus told them, receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember he said, John baptized with fire, but you who are born again after I've risen from the dead are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power, right? And the Spirit of God. And so and there's different places in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came across a group of people that he perceived were Christians. And the first question he said was, did you also receive the extra thing that comes with it, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Did you get that as well? And you see this throughout the book of Acts. And I teach that in that series because a lot of people think you get all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to need at salvation. Well, that's not how it was in the book of Acts. It's not how it's going to be in the book of 2020. It's a separate experience. So it's a separate experience apart from salvation where you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It's a supernatural endowment of power. There's so many blessings with it. But the other thing that you find with it sticks out is the evidence that one is filled, because you can't see the Holy Spirit. Just like you can't see the wind. You can see the result or the effect of the wind, but you can't see the wind. The Holy Ghost is the same way. Look at Peter. You can't see the Holy Ghost on Peter, but you saw the result of the Holy Ghost on Peter. But the evidence of one speaking in tongues, because in Acts chapter 10, Peter said, wow, I'm surprised that God gave that same gift to this group of people. He poured it out on the Jews, but he was surprised that he gave it to the non-Jews, or what you'd call a Gentile. Peter said, God gave them the Holy Ghost just like he gave it to us in Acts chapter 10, because we heard them speak in tongues. And all in the Bible, it talks about when somebody received the Holy Ghost, it either directly implies they immediately spoke in tongues, or it infers that they do. So you can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. Remember Jesus said, in my name, cast out devils, all that. He said, but they'll speak with new tongues. Remember Paul said this, the apostle said, I thank my God, I pray more than all of you. And so the Bible is pro baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Bible is pro speaking in tongues. I don't care what churches have told you. I don't care what the media has told you. I don't care what Hollywood and the people that mock it and stuff. The Bible says something. And I'll tell you this, the second greatest thing that ever happened to this man up here, standing up here talking to you, is getting filled with the Holy Spirit. The first was receiving Jesus. The second was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that came the power. See, salvation gave me heaven, put me in the family, but the Holy Ghost gave me power. Yeah. Supernatural, dynamic, working power in my life. And when you have supernatural, dynamic, working power in your life, miracles happen. Things get turned around and changed. And so I don't have time to teach on that, but that's what it is. And then what is speaking in tongues? Real quick, Jenny, if you'd pull up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, because these questions center around this topic. And when you hear me say it, what is this speaking in tongues business? Because isn't that just a bunch of fanatics and people that are crazy and just, you know, they want to fit a certain class of Christians, you know, the Pentecostals or the Charismatics, they want to be in that group. And then we have the group over here that looks like they need life support, you know, when they come to church, you know, what? That was funnier than what you made it out to be. But we want to be in the middle here, in the middle ground. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. I want you all to see this. And I do encourage you to bring your Bibles, because we never know if this stuff's even going to work. You know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But anyways, Paul said this. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue. Notice what the next line is. I'm a crazy Christian, one of those off the rails granola Christians. No. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, he says, my spirit prays. Well, how many of you know in Thessalonians, Paul talked about this. He said, you have a spirit, soul, and a body. You're a three-part being. You have a body, right? Your natural earth suit. But you also have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. But the real you is a spirit. That's what lives forever. And so the real you, even though the real you is housed by this natural flesh, we have an opportunity in the natural to communicate. The Bible says God's not a natural being. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. God's a spirit. Well, one of the ways we can communicate with him, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So yes, and then it goes on to say, but my understanding is unfruitful. So that's why it sounds crazy to you. That's why it sounds nuts, because you can't understand it. You're not supposed to be able to understand it, but your spirit, the real you, is communicating with God. Remember what it said in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14? He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but I speak directly unto God. I've heard people say praying in tongues is of the devil, that it's not for today. No, it's a way by our spirits can communicate with the Father of spirits. Amen? So, and there's so many benefits with it. I do encourage you, get online, educate yourself. It's a great blessing to you. But I want to get into the questions that were given to me. Hopefully, there's just a handful here. Hopefully, we can get through them by the end of the night. But some of these are just real quick answers for you. You know, I'm not going to try to draw it out here and sound more educated than I need to and just let you know. But the first question I got concerning this is asked me personally, what do I do when praying in tongues? What do I concentrate on? Well, the main thing with praying in the Spirit is it's an opportunity to hear from heaven. And the Bible says that God speaks in the still small voice. He's not writing on the walls. He leads through the Holy Ghost, that inward witness, that still small voice. He's not shouting from the rooftops with trumpets and banging cymbals to get your attention. But the problem is our lives are like shouting from the rooftops and banging cymbals all the time. And one night we did an example. Jake was back in the sound booth, and I gave a demonstration of that still small voice. And what happens with that still small voice is the still small voice stays the same no matter what your life is like. And I just started talking in a normal tone and had Jake keep turning it up. Well, when I don't raise my voice, but the background noise gets louder, it drowns that voice out. And a lot of people have that voice drawn out. And so it's important to get to a place when you're praying in the Holy Ghost where you can quiet the voice of the mind, quiet the voice of the flesh. Because I'll guarantee that y'all that have been here, that have received this gift, my goodness, you know, you get to praying in tongues, and it's like a fire started in your life, or all of a sudden you're hungry and you're thinking about a million things. Why? Well, it's a spiritual activity. Remember what the Bible says about a spiritual activity. The mind and the flesh fight against those things. And so it's important to get to a place where you actually take no thought in prayer. Can you get there? Yes. Is it work? It is. The way I've heard ministers say this, and the way I can only explain it for myself, is you have to go through the wall or the veil of the flesh. The flesh and the mind will be so loud and tell you things to get you out of that place of prayer. Why? Because in that place of speaking in tongues to the Father, you're not just communicating. He wants to communicate back to you. But if you don't get to where you can quiet your mind, and your mind is doing cartwheels, and it's a carnival up there, and your flesh is loud as can be, God's going to be saying things to you that you're not hearing. And so it's important. Now, what I always tell people, what helped me to get there, now I can get there a lot quicker than I could years ago. Why? It's just like working out. You know, I used to run quite a bit and be in shape with sports and stuff. But man, if I went out right now to run a mile straight without stopping, wow. I would be feeling it, you know, and that seems so simple to me in my head, you know. Whereas years ago, you run a mile, what, were you crunched for time? Like, why only a mile, you know? It's the same way with praying in tongues. It's like an exercise. It takes practice. It takes endurance. It takes a building up. And, you know, the more you do it and the more you stay disciplined to do it, how many of you know, the more you run that mile, the easier that mile will become. You might endeavor to pray for 10 minutes in tongues and it just be like, you went to the circus for 10 minutes and didn't get anything out of it. Well, if you'll endeavor for the next 10 minutes that you pray, the next time that you're going to not let thoughts in. And one way that I did early on to keep my mind at least on something good, I want my mind blank. I want God to be able to speak to me, is I just think of Jesus. when thoughts of money, thoughts of life would come in. No, I just think of Jesus on the throne. I just think of the Master. Just think of the Master, you know, and then just, there's going to be times you're going to have to tell your flesh no. Paul said this. He said, I buffet my body. I beat it down by blow by blow. What's that mean? Well, you might endeavor to pray for 15 minutes, and after 5 minutes, everything in the world is coming up in your mind and wanting to get out there. You might just have to say, no, I'm sitting here. Yeah. I love what I heard my pastor say, because I've done this too, and I was like, okay, I'm not as crazy as I thought. Pretty crazy, but I'm not as crazy as I thought. That early on for him, he would tell his body, okay, look, you're going to sit here. You're not going to get up. You're not going to scratch. You're not going to do anything. You're going to sit here for 15 minutes. You're going to pray. What's that doing? Discipline in the flesh. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so I try to concentrate on absolutely nothing when I pray in tongues. When my mind gets loud, I'll put my thoughts on Jesus and the Father. But mostly, it's discipline in the flesh. It's kind of like the devil. When you laugh at him and resist him, the more you do it, the quieter he gets. The more you'll resist your flesh and your mind and into the what it's telling you to do, the quieter it will become. And it might seem impossible right now, but running a mile for some of you might seem impossible. But if you did it for a month or two straight, the mile would become easy for you to run. Your cardiovascular would be built up. The endurance, everything in you. And then you'd go out and run a mile. You'd say, okay, now I'm going to run a mile and a half. And then you'd have that struggle to bust through again. Amen? Yeah. So hopefully whoever had that question that helped you. If not, any of these questions, if they don't answer what you intended, reach out to me personally. And then there was a question that came in this. It said, I know the prayer of faith, and I know about praying for those I have authority over, which would be like children and your family and things, your business, whatever's in your real close influence, you know. But they said, but what about praying for others? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I said go to Acts chapter 2, but we never went there for time's sake. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Hallelujah. These little things will help you, each little question, you know. And I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. Amen. In the form of the thermostat. Lynn's back there. She's telling me, you know, I know. I felt it too. Help's on the way. Help is on the way. Praise God. Ephesians 6, verse 18. It's a tough thing keeping you all happy, you know. I'm trying. Ephesians 6, 18. Look what it says here. See, first of all, we know this. It's important to pray. Yes. We've learned around here that God can't do anything unless people pray.
Right.
Let me say that again. God can't do anything unless people pray. Remember what he said in Matthew 18? He said, whatever you bind on earth, heaven will back you. He said, whatever you loose, heaven will back you. So if we're not binding and we're not loosing, heaven's not binding and heaven's not loosening.
Right.
Amen. And we don't have time to talk about the importance of prayer, but we know around here, we know that things don't get done without prayer. And so people need prayer at times. People go through things that are bigger than them, that are stronger than them, things they can't get past. We need assistance. Amen? I love when Pastor Michael, isn't it amazing that when Pastor Michael was here and told the church to pray for me, and he told me at lunch afterwards, he said, your church isn't praying for you enough. It was right in the midst of me going through my hell on earth in my body. Yeah. And I kept saying, please heed that. And every time a minister would come in or mention praying for me, what would I get up and say? Please do it. Please do it. Please be praying for me. And I love when Pastor Michael was going into his next phase of ministry, and he's going through hell on earth, and he's doing everything he knows, standing on the word, confessing. And the Holy Ghost revealed to him, you can't get past this alone. Well, James in the Bible couldn't get past it alone. Peter couldn't get past it alone. People prayed for Peter and he was delivered. So we do need to pray for others. And it says here in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All the word supplications means is requests, prayers for the saints, requests for them, standing in prayer for them. But I want you to see something. So it says, what about praying for others? Well, here's what you do to pray for others. Number one, the best thing that you can do to pray for others, there's two things. Number one, pray the word for them. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, an unbeliever would be different, and you can throw that in the category of number two that I'm going to talk to you about. And if the person that asks this question, you're mostly talking about an unbeliever, again, reach out to me in private. I'll talk to you about that. But for fellow Christians, for family members, for people in the church, praying for them. In verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, verses 17 through 23 is a prayer that the Holy Ghost recorded that the Apostle Paul prayed. Now, in this prayer, some amazing things. He says, now remember, he's praying these things because he's trying to bind some things and loose some things. And he knows that he only can get heaven to respond when a person prays. God has no authority on planet Earth except through the Christian. The Christian has been delegated authority because the devil, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, is the god of the world. That's why it's a mess, people. God did not all of a sudden screw up and just all of a sudden drop the ball, and now people are starving, and people are going hungry, and the world's on fire. It's because there's a thief that's running the show. But the Christian is supposed to stand up like Jesus did on the earth and dominate the devil's circumstances. Unfortunately, most Christians aren't taught, and they're ignorant, and they walk around like little weasels with their tail between their leg. No. We're the body of Christ, for crying out loud. We're children of God. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, all authority's been given unto me, and I give it unto you. Jesus wasn't moved by the things of the world. Jesus moved the things of the world. We ought not to be moved by things of the world. We ought to be the movers in this world. And one of the ways we do that is through prayer, praise God. And Paul prayed here some things. Why? Because he knows, I need these people to get this. He prayed things like that their eyes of their understanding would be opened, that they would know. Didn't we just talk on Sunday the importance of knowledge and the supreme advantage knowledge gives us? And Paul prays in this prayer, I pray that you would know some things, that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power, that you go down through there and you read it. And there's one in Ephesians chapter 3 over in verse 14, another prayer of Paul. Well, these prayers, he's praying for these people, will change their lives. In fact, in the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about that they would be filled with the fullness of God. If you're filled with the fullness of God, there's no room for any lack. Amen. There's no room for any bad things at all. And that's what he's praying for them. And he wouldn't pray something that's not possible. He knew better. Hallelujah. So pray the word. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, in Ephesians 1 and verse 16, it says, I cease not to give thanks for making mention of your prayers. I'll tell you what I do every day. Father, I lift up every single person in the Allegheny Church. I lift up every single person in the South Dayton Church that looks at me and says, that's my pastor on this earth. I lift them up. And Father, I pray that you would, go to verse 17, please. I pray that you would grant unto each and every one of them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of you, that the eyes of each and every one of them would be enlightened, right? And I pray that whole prayer, and then I go to Ephesians 3, and there's some other prayers that I pray. Why? If I pray the word, I'm praying accurately. So many people pray inaccurate prayers that aren't even making it past the ceiling. Why? 1 John chapter 5 says, the confidence we have in him of receiving is when we ask according to his will. So many people are asking, they don't know if it's God's will or not. They're just praying out of emotion, and nothing's happening. And I love what Brother Hagin said. He said, a lot of Christians' prayers have about the same power as somebody that would be twiddling their thumbs saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And that's the way a lot of Christians pray. But Paul prayed strategically. He prayed skillfully. Amen? So how do I pray for others? Pray these prayers for people. But in speaking on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues, praying in tongues is such a bullseye for people. Because we know at times people need things, but we're not privy all the time to what people know. Right? We know people are struggling, but at times you can't talk to them. You can just see it on their face. You can just feel it. You're sensing it in the Holy Ghost. They need something from heaven. And if we think, see, God didn't just reach down and pull James out of his problem. He needed to, because God can't. And people that are going through things in life, family members, friends, coworkers, if we just think that God's just going to do something without us standing in the gap, we're mistaken. It takes prayer for God to do it. Well, there's just times we don't know what to pray. How do we pray for other people? Praying in tongues is the way. Go to Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8:26. Hallelujah. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit. Okay, so remember this. I didn't tell you this about praying in tongues, but what praying in tongues is, remember, is praying in your spirit. But the utterance that comes out of your mouth, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost that dwells in you as a believer gives that utterance to your spirit. So when you speak it out, you didn't come up with those words. The Holy Ghost gave you utterance to speak it forth. But when you speak forth that utterance from the Holy Ghost, the Bible says this is what's happening. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. How many of you know? There's a way you ought to pray. Old-time religion just will shout out anything and pray anyway. No, we got to be skillful and hit the mark. There's a way we ought to pray, but there's times we don't know how we should pray or how we ought to pray. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, I know somebody's struggling, but is it financial? Is it in their marriage? Is it with their children? Are they going through some sickness in their body? Is it a mental, an emotional attack on their lives? I don't know what it is, but God's not fooled. God's not in the dark. And so when you pray in the Spirit for them, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost helps with the areas that we don't know what we should pray for, with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. That's praying in tongues. You can't understand what that is. And verse 27 says, and he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Holy Ghost, makes intercession or stands in for us for the saints according to the will of God. Well, how does he make intercession for us? The Holy Spirit tells us exactly what to speak forth. We pray that out in tongues, and the Bible says it's according to the will of God. So when somebody's going through something or you want to pray for someone else, is what the question was, say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for so-and-so. He'll then give you the utterance, because he's just waiting to be there to help you. Praise God. He's just waiting to be the helper. And I'll talk about that in the next verse here. You speak that forth, and you're praying out the perfect will of God for their life. Amen. That's how you pray for people. The words praying out the perfect will of God for their life, and praying in tongues prays out the perfect will of God in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 5:16, we don't have time to turn there. What does it say? Prayer makes power available. Peter needed power to get out of that prison. Amen? Pastor Michael needed power, corporate power, to get him out of his trial. I truly believe I did not make it out of the test and trial alone. I know I didn't. Why? Power's made available. Right. Amen. Amen. And if nobody prays, there's no power. That's right. But if you'll pray in the Spirit for others, pray in the Spirit for people you love, and that's talking about unbelievers, they definitely need some power, because they're gripped by the devil's power. Yeah. Pray in tongues for these people, making power available for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we got to keep going here. Next question. How are we to pray out certain things if you pull up again, Jenny, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, how are we to pray out certain things? This is a good question. If according to 1 Corinthians 14:14, what we are praying in the Spirit is unintelligible and unfruitful to our minds. And that's what the Bible says, that when we pray in tongues, we won't understand what we're saying. And the person's asking, how do we pray things out if we don't even know what we're saying? Well, let me help you here. Go back to verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, for if I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So he's saying it's best to get out of the unfruitful category. You don't have to stay in the unfruitful category. What does it mean? Pray, Father, I pray. This is just a simple prayer. Father, I pray that I would be able to interpret my prayers that I pray in the Spirit. Why? It'd be a benefit to you. It'd be a benefit to people. Now, it might come in certain ways. You might have the gift of the Holy Ghost of tongues and interpretation of tongues, which means you'll be praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden there'll be utterance there to speak forth in English, and you'll speak out exactly what you just prayed. Or you'll be praying in the Spirit, and, you know, a few days later, hours later, a week later, all of a sudden something will be revealed to you, and you'll have a knowing that that's what you prayed out. Hallelujah. So number one, pray that you may interpret. But this is what I wanted you to see. Go to John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now that word Comforter in English, okay, remember the Bible's not written in English, it's written in Greek, the New Testament. And the Greek language you'll find is, just read on different scholars and things that tell you this, you don't have to be a genius to know this, just look some things up. It's far more complex. That's why we have things like the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible amplifies that original Greek to what the meanings of that original text of those words meant. Well, that Comforter, one of the words designated for the Holy Spirit is the word helper. That word Comforter is word helper. Now, remember what he does. The Holy Ghost gives us utterance to our spirit. What utterance? The perfect will of God, so that when we speak forth in tongues, it's not empty words. It's actually hitting bullseyes. But if he's the Comforter, and the Bible tells us that when we pray, our minds will understand. Excuse me, we can get into the thought. Many times people have had this thought. How do I even know if I'm praying for Susie or John or coworker so-and-so or grandpa so-and-so, and I pray in tongues, how can I even be assured that I'm even praying that because my mind doesn't understand? I'll tell you how you can be assured. The Holy Ghost is at your service. That's not being disrespectful to him. He is excited about his role. He is happy to be your helper. And the best example I can have is if we had a moving day at the church and I called somebody to come help me move stuff and they agreed, hey, I got some things I can't move on my own. Will you come help me move? And by them showing up, what are they saying? I'm here to help you. And let's just say that this is one of those old-time pulpits, you know, that, you know, you probably wonder, why does he need Jeff to get that thing over here? Well, I don't know why. It's just easier for me, and it works out. But sometimes there's pulpits you really need somebody, right? I mean, I can do that, but he's just a blessing. It helps me turn around, and it's usually there when I turn around. Or the lady's taking time to get off the stage. She's like, what was going on? What happened? What was the problem here? And anyways, I'm just messing around. But those old-time pulpits, you know, that you can't move on your own, especially if they don't have wheels. You need people. So, okay, will you come help me? There's especially the pulpit. I can't move that. And if I say, come help me move the pulpit, and I get on this side of the pulpit, you as my helper aren't going to go start moving other equipment around. Okay, come help me on the pulpit. And you get down there trying to pick up the monitor. It makes no sense. You're my helper. I asked you to help me on this. When you ask the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, help me pray for so-and-so. Give me the utterance, and you take off praying in tongues, you can be assured by the Bible that what you're praying out is hitting the mark. Amen. That's how you can be assured. But in the meantime, also pray that you may interpret. It's exciting when you start interpreting your prayers, when you start getting things revealed to you. These things are all available to you as Christians. These aren't designated for the pastors. They're not designated for the TV ministers or the people we hold so high, you know, and we have such honor and reverence for. It's available to all of us. Amen. He didn't say pray that the ministers would interpret. No, you as a believer have this privilege. Pray that you may interpret. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So that's how you know. Praise God. Next question. Are you ready? Yeah. If we can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere and speak in tongues, which we can. I've gotten people filled in the woods. I've gotten people filled on a mountain. I've gotten people filled in the church. I've gotten people filled in a vehicle. I've gotten people filled on the phone. Amen. Amen. If we can receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues anywhere, then why did he tell the apostles to go to a certain place to receive it? Go to Acts chapter 1. And let's see where I want to go for time's sake. Excuse me. Go to verse 4. Because we teach you can receive it anywhere. And you can, people have. But why did he tell them? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. And then he tells you in verse 5 what the promise is. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So He told them to receive, this is, now remember, this is the first group of people on planet Earth ever to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, ever to be filled with tongues, and he told them to be in a specific location. Now here's the thing, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly why God told them to go to Jerusalem. But here's some things we do know. We know in the rest of the book, they didn't have to be in Jerusalem to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We know this, that the corporate anointing brings power, and he told them, go gather together in a place and be in prayer. And we see in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1 that they all continued in prayer, and prayer makes power. Is it something where God, for to be able to be loosed on the earth, whatever we bind, whatever we loose, he wanted to do something. You know, this just came up to me. God wanted to hold back the rain and then send the rain with Elijah, but it took a man to pray. Even though God wanted it to happen, even though God wanted the Holy Ghost poured out, God can't do whatever God wants to do on the earth. Yeah. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that's the reason, but we can make inferences based, pretty smart ones based on the Bible, that corporate group anointing, but the main answer to that question is, that's just the way it was for the very first ones. The rest of the Bible never tells you you have to be in a certain location to receive it. In fact, the only location you have to be to receive it is the location of faith. The gift of the Holy Ghost comes by faith. You can have faith in your car. You can have faith in your shower. Or you can be like Pastor Tim Stallman and have faith in his VW bus, get filled with the Holy Ghost, but the thing was smoking on the inside, and it made his eyes all red, and he got pulled over. He's over there praying in tongues for the very first time, and his eyes are all red, and the cops pull him over, and he's driving this hippie van, and they think, what's your eyes so red for? Well, he's got a story to tell now. The exhaust was going through, and he looked like he was high as a kite, and he might have been. But he was high on the Holy Ghost too, amen? But you can get it in a VW bus. Someday, I think we should just have Pastor Tim Stallman in here just to come in and tell old stories about him and I. Oh, you wouldn't believe it! And that guy can tell stories better than I can. Oh, man, we'll see about that. Maybe I can do that for a gift for you sometime. Pop the popcorn and everything. It'll be worth it. Amen. Next question. Does the Bible say you can pray in the Spirit inside your head? What does that mean? You know, without uttering things, without things coming out of your mouth. It does not. In fact, the only reference that I can find, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. Now, I will say this. In every situation you see in the Bible, people are praying with their mouth out loud. But if you ever found yourself, which this, again, is never going to happen, where you're in a situation where you absolutely, you know, you're being held captive. You know, whatever, and you need to pray. How many of you know? You could pray in your heart, pray in your head. But we don't, those are outlier type things. We don't try to make that fit the norm. The norm is you pray with your mouth and you pray out loud. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 12, it says, it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. So he's looking at her, and her lips are moving, but he's not hearing anything. But what's she doing? She's praying before the Lord. But notice this, even so, her lips are moving. Which I can pray out utterances without sound. Like, I'm still praying. Just because you can't hear it, you see my lips moving, right? That's the only reference I've found. All the other references are people praying out loud. So a lot of people, I'm not saying this to the person that asked that question, but a lot of people just want to get out of doing things that are uncomfortable. Let me give you an example that will step on toes and make you feel so happy to be here tonight. When it comes to worshiping God, he tells us in the Bible what he likes. He does. The fruit of our lips is a sacrifice that we're to give him always. He likes that. So when you are judging people for being loud in church and shouting, you're going to hate heaven, first of all. Don't go there. You're going to be a hater of heaven because heaven's full of praising out loud. You know, we get in our flesh, we get uncomfortable. But people criticize, you know, other people for praising, but the Bible says God likes it. Yes. He likes it. The Bible also says that God blesses him when people raise their hands and praise him.
That's right.
Well, I'm just telling you from my own personal experience, and for those that are there, you're there right now, don't feel bad. I remember coming into a church like this and thinking, the alarm was going off, granola zone, weep, beep, beep. What are those crazy people doing? They're shouting, they're lifting their hands. What a bunch of fakers. You know the thoughts you've had. But the Bible says, then I had to get my mind reeducated, that God likes when I lift my hands. God likes when I pray to him, and actually calls it a sacrifice when I praise him. And nowhere does he say, if you're uncomfortable, don't do it. And nowhere does he say, for the uncomfortable ones, we'll make something different for you because you're special. No. And it's the same with praying. People like to just, I'll just worship God. I'm standing there gripping the sea as tight as I can, but I'm worshiping him in my head.
Come on.
You're ignorant.
That's right.
And you're always ignorant until you're not ignorant anymore, yeah. Right? So ignorance not it's not a slight or a dig. A lot of things we're ignorant about until we're not, but it's the same with praying, and a lot of people, I think, just want to do that. Now, I know there might be certain situations where you can't be loud and you can't be vocal, and maybe you have to do something like Hannah, or maybe your mouth is duct taped shut, and you need to pray to get out of there, and you got to pray. I mean, you know that happens all the time. So, no, people, you pray out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen? Hallelujah. We're almost done here. Do we need to pray in English before we pray in tongues? Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. These are good questions that people have. This was the purpose of Ask the Pastor. None of these questions were dumb, except for the stupid one someone put in the box. Jim Walker, will you please open the door? Jim Walker's out there. Oh, Jim, did he fall asleep? He's there. There he is. Somebody put in the questions, why is Jim Walker taller than you? Let's settle this once and for all. Get up here. Come on. Come on, right up here. No, we didn't prove anything. That one waiter, the mouth of two or three witnesses, one crazy waiter said it was him. Mouth of two or three witnesses, don't you dare stand on that cord. Get over here. Back to back right now. Let's go. You be the judge. Which one's taller right now? All in favor of Jim, raise their hands. Let's kind of move this way so everybody can see. Come on, keep going. All in favor of Jim, raise your hand, okay. All in favor of me, raise your hand. Okay, you can leave now. Goodbye. Well, I guess he's taller than me because y'all voted it. He's got lifts in his shoe, something. But anyways, the question was, why is Jim Walker taller than me? I don't know. But we just proved that I guess he is. I guess that was probably worked against me. But anyways, all the questions, none of them are stupid. So good, you know, even what you might think is elementary. But do we need to pray in tongues, pray in English before we pray in the Spirit? The answer to that is no. You don't have to. The Bible doesn't tell you that you have to. But the Bible does tell you in 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, let me get there. That was really stupid of me. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is full. Verse 15, what is it then? I'll pray in the spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. What's that in English? I'll sing with the spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. What's he saying? You can do both. And there's no order. You know, one thing I will say, though, is I pray in tongues more than I pray in the natural. Why? I only know so much to say in the natural. You know, I only know so much to say. I do think we can get into laziness praying in the Spirit because then we don't have to, because praying in the Spirit takes thinking out of the equation, which is actually one of the main benefits of it, but you can get lazy with it too, right? Because when you pray in English and you worship in English, you're actually thinking about and putting some natural effort into it, right? And we should do that. We should worship God with our natural tongue. We should worship God with our natural mind. But as far as do you have to pray in English first? Absolutely not. You're just as much a spirit as anything else, and the praying in tongues is available to you. Once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can just start, you wake up in the morning, just start praying in tongues. You don't have to pray in English first. Remember, when you're praying in the Spirit, God hears you just like you're praying in the natural. It's no different to him, right? It's still communicate with him. So that was a quick answer, but anyways, we have two more questions left. Let's get through these. Is the highest way to worship God praying in tongues? I thought it was praise. Let me say this. They probably had a little mixed up of what was said. The highest, because they asked again, is the highest way to worship God, the way you can, the highest you can do it is by praying in tongues. I thought it was praise. Praise is the highest form of all prayer. There's a bunch of different prayers, and we can teach on that some other time. I think I have once before on all the different kinds of prayer. But the prayer of praise is the highest form of prayer, not the prayer of speaking in tongues. But what I want you to see about the major benefits of praying in tongues, and if you remember the verse in Romans 8, verse 26, of why praying in tongues is so beneficial, remember it says when you pray in tongues, what you don't know, you're praying according to the perfect will of God. When you pray in tongues, one of the awesome things that's taken out of the equation is doubt and unbelief. Your words, you know the twinkle, twinkle, little star prayers? Those are tripping people up. They're not helping people. Do you know that some people pray doubt and unbelief prayers for the wrong direction? But when you pray in tongues, the Bible says you're praying according to the perfect will of God. Nothing's coming out of your mouth to hinder you. It's one of the major benefits of it. Takes doubt and unbelief and thinking right out of the equation. And a lot of times our thinking is the problem. Amen? But no, praying in tongues is not the highest way to worship God. Actually, the highest way to worship God is what? Spirit and truth. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. You can worship God in tongues. That would be spirit and truth. You can worship God in English and do it spirit and truth. It's the heart and the accuracy that matters, right? The highest way to praise Him is to praise Him accurately, according to the truth, and from the spirit, from the heart place. Amen? That's the highest way to praise God. Praying in tongues can fit that category, or praying in English can fit that category. But the highest form of prayer is praise. If that didn't answer your question, again, see me and we'll clear that up for you. Now, last but not least, what is the appropriate balance between praying in English, praying in tongues, and praising? Again, I appreciate this question. Why? People want to be skillful. People want to hit the mark. And, you know, we got to be careful not to... We want to be accurate, but we don't want to be dogmatic in the sense of so religious with God. Like, there's still room for relationship here. Amen? You know, there's relationship with my children, but they still have to follow rules. They still have to follow things around the house and the way they behave and the way they talk to get into more and to increase and to live a peaceful life. But it doesn't hinder. See, what they do, they learn the rules of the home. They learn the procedures of their father, and they love me. We cuddle, we play, we have fun, we do things. It's not them walking around, okay, this I got, this, no, because they're so familiar with me. Right. You know why a lot of people aren't that way with the father? They're just not familiar with him. And you think that it's all based on rules and regulations and check marks and this order and that order. No, it's just like my kids. They know what to do when they wake up. They know what they have to do for bed. They know how to carry on during the day. They know things not to do. But it doesn't hinder the love. It doesn't hinder the interaction. Does that help at all? They're aware of me. They're acquainted with me. But there is a balance. And thank God for the word. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, you can mix those two together, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's it telling you there? What's the balance? Prayer, which prayer would be English, prayer would be praying in tongues. Prayer and thanksgiving. Sounds even to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Acts 16 and verse 25. And I'll give you a story that will help you to close. Acts 16, 25. Now this is Paul and Silas. They're in prison. They're in a tough spot. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises to God. They didn't just praise. They prayed too. But they didn't just pray. They praised as well. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I'm not saying, again, get religious about it and set a timer and make sure at the end of the week you've clocked in the same exact. I'm saying live in a consistent lifestyle of praise. A consistent lifestyle of praying. Understanding. See, this is where it also becomes being skillful. Different times, different things. We don't just put it in a bag, everything, shake it all up, and mix it all together. No, you can't do that. There's sometimes you confess. Sometimes you praise. Sometimes you pray in tongues, right? Sometimes you meditate on the word. You say, wow, it's not a lot to know if you're faithful in a local church where the pastor teaches you. It gets in you. It gets in you. You know what to do. You when certain situation comes up, you go, because a lot of times when people should be answering the problem, they're praying about the problem. A lot of times when people should be speaking to the mountain, they're talking about their mountain. Or there's different things. Well, it's the same thing. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. What? He knew there needs to be a balance. Prayer has its place. Praise has its place. Remember the story of the missionary that Brother Hagin told. Excuse me, Brother Hagin's a minister that passed away in the early 2000s. And just so thankful, all the books he wrote and things. Our churches are here because of him, you know. And he's from Oklahoma, if you don't know who he is. But anyways, he told the story of the missionary who came down with that life-threatening illness. And this person's praying and believing for their healing. And they know the word. They're believing for their healing. And their healing's not coming. And the Lord gave the lady a vision, the missionary a vision. In the vision, it was a scale. You know the scale that's got the placeholders on each side that weigh up and down? And one had something stacked way up on it and was weighted down, and the other one had hardly anything on it and was up in the air because there was nothing weighing it down. And it was labeled on the one that was all the way down, full of weight, it was labeled prayer. And the one that was labeled praise, which was nothing on, was up in the air because there was none of that going on, or very little. And the Holy Ghost said to this person, when your praise equals your praying, your healing will come. Now, what is that? That's God saying to them, be skillful. Yeah. Paul and Silas got out of this and were delivered by how? Being skillful. They sang praises, they praised, but they also prayed. What are they doing there? Worshiping, singing, praying in tongues, praying in English the right way, doing what they know to do. Equal, prayer and praise, prayer and praise, prayer and praise. And the Lord told that missionary, when your praise equals your praying, you'll be healed. So the next few days, this missionary did not one bit of praying and just worshiped the Lord. Now remember, the reason that praise is the highest form of prayer is because when you praise, the Bible says God inhabits that. The inhabits of your praises. Praise brings God on the scene. Glory to God. Prayer unties his hands and brings him on the scene, but it's a little different ways for each of them and different things that God does, and you study that out. But both of them yield great things. But here her praising wasn't equal, and it was holding things back. Why? Because praise can bust things off that prayer can't. Prayer can do things that praise can't. Now, if you're starting to get overwhelmed and you have the thought, I'll never get this with all this rules, and that is a lie of the devil. God doesn't put anything in his word to make it hard for you. I don't say this to be demeaning to myself and to play the self-deprecating guy. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not very naturally educated. My high school degree, my diploma, I have that because I cheated my whole way through. No, that's the truth. My JCC diploma, same exact thing. Cheated my whole way through. That's who I used to be before Jesus. Just no character, no integrity, just easy way out, you know. And so I'm not standing here because I have some theological degree, some seminary, some wise person with all these titles. No. You're looking at someone that just received the power of the Holy Ghost and got hungry about God and got revelation on things. And because of the power of the Spirit, they've stuck with me. And so I navigate through this life and being victorious over things. I don't sit around all day saying, okay, now, wait a minute, what, you know, like a math problem. Okay, wait, which step goes first? Which number, which decimal, which, I don't do that. And you don't have to either. And that thought that you're getting, well, I'll never be successful because how do I know when to pray? How do I know when to praise? How do I know when to confess? Stay with it in fellowship with God. It'll be revealed to you. So she did nothing for the next few days but praise God only, just praised him. What does that look like? Father, I worship you. I worship you. Praise God. Just worshiping him. Amen? Amen. Glorifying him. telling him how wonderful he is. Glory to God. Now again, God doesn't need his ego stroked. He's already well aware that he's God.
Yes.
Praise will do something for you. Because it brings power, because that's what his word says. So it's not your father. You'll get a wrong idea. The devil will give you the wrong ideas. What an arrogant guy he is. Needs me to tell him how good he is. Now, he already knows how good he is. He doesn't need you to tell him. In fact, God doesn't need anything up there, so to speak. For his plan to come to pass down here, he needs us to do some things. But he's sitting in perfection. There's nothing lacking in him. Your praise, although he enjoys it, it doesn't, without it, he's fine. You understand what I'm saying? So he's not up there saying, oh, pet my ego and stroke my ego. No. But it does something. So she just praised for the next few days. Didn't pray one bit. Just praised. And the healing came. Through all that time, supernatural healing came. Well, praise God. We finally got a group of the, you thought I was just kidding you. And asking for those questions for no reason. But we got a group out. Hopefully this helped you. But I want to say this in closing, before we close. Go with me to James 5:16. I'm not just going to make this real quick. I wanted to preach more about the million tonight in building our faith for that. But we saw when the Holy Spirit revealed to me to believe him for $1 million, to actually stop messing around with this, believe him for $1 million, to pay these buildings off and to, you know, tell the poor person that money means nothing. Money can change lives. It can help people and do so much. I'm not saying it's the most important thing. But I always confess that this church is a financial giant. This church is a financial magnet. Because there's hurting people. And tell the people that have called and are going through stuff that in the community and things and different organizations, and I've been able to cut a big check to them, tell them money didn't mean anything to them. Tell the missionaries and the ministers that we're funding around the whole world and the gospel's getting out, the people that are getting born again, and people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost and getting healed, tell them that money didn't mean anything. And so we told you a couple weeks ago, well, I think it was last Wednesday, I revealed what the Holy Ghost revealed to me about believing for the million, but I told you it's not going to come without your agreement and your faith. I need your agreement with the vision and your faith with it, because it's not a one-man show up here. We'll never get anything if we think that. But as I was meditating on this message, came up in my heart, here's your chance to fully make people more skillful in this area of to get that million. Because I'll be honest, naturally I was not disappointed, but this, I had my heart set on, okay, let's get people increased for this, and we will. I know that's part of the plan. But we started with this, and now I know why. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not only do I need your agreement, and not only do I need your faith, I need diligent prayers for the plan of God to come to pass in this church. When God reveals to us to believe him for something, that's part of the plan of God for this church. God's plan does not automatically come to pass without people praying. God's plan was for them to send the rain to stop that drought, but it took a man to pray it in. God revealed to us, I want your buildings paid off. I want you to be a blessing. Believe me for $1 million, okay? But we need to agree on that. We need to release our faith towards that. But now, along with that, we need to be praying and praying in the Spirit for that. How do you pray in the natural for that? Father, I thank you the money comes according to what you said. According to, you said you'd meet all our needs. You said it's good to be debt-free. Thank you for that money. That's praying skillfully. Now, Holy Ghost, help me to pray for the plan of God for South Dayton Church, for the Allegheny Church. And just start taking off praying in tongues, and you'll pray according to the perfect will, and power will be made available. Power for what? The million to come. See, the $1 million is already on the earth.
Amen.
We think $1 million is hard. I just heard of a guy that bought a yacht for $199 million. Think about that. One person, one boat. And we hear $1 million in church, we're like, oh, and he's dropping $199 million on a boat. And the rock stars and the movie stars fly around in their $1 million jets and live in their mansions. And we fret over $1 million. But here's what you have to know. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And the Bible says that money comes through hands. God's not sending money. Power needs to be made available for what? Things to be loosed. Things to be bound. If we just think it's magic going to come in because we got excited about a service, we talk about a million and we think in our head, oh, that'll be fun, Pastor Mike announces that. If we don't do our part, we'll never see that day. We'll never see it. But we're going to see it. So what do? Agree, release your faith every day. Father, I thank you for the $1 million. That's why I have you pray it and say it with me. Why? We got to get used to releasing our faith. But then now, Holy Ghost, help me to pray. I would ask you, some of you do this a lot more, but could you give the plan of God at least 15 to 30 minutes of praying in tongues every day? Do you know what would happen if every single person in both these churches would say, I'm going to commit to 30 minutes a day of praying in the Spirit for my church? Oh my gosh, combined in the power? Because let's be honest, most people aren't hitting 30 minutes a week. No, don't tell on yourself now. But what if we said, you know what? I see the power of prayer in the agreement. I'm going to give my pastor, I'm going to give that plan of God 30 minutes. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost. I don't care what my flesh is saying. I don't care what my mind's saying. I don't care what my belly, my tummy's saying. I'm going to sit here and pray in tongues. You know, when you run on a treadmill, if you set the time for 20 minutes and you set the speed for whatever speed and you run for 20 minutes, whether or not you felt like it or didn't feel like it, you still burned the same amount of calories if you did the work. Whether it felt easy or didn't feel easy, you still put out the work. If you sit there and pray that 15 to 30 minutes a day for the plan of God, whether it felt like anything, whether it didn't feel like anything, who cares what it feels like? Or the Word says it works. Amen. Just trust the process and let's commit to this. Amen. I can't wait to wave that check. Amen. Put it in the bank, pay these buildings off, and sow that money. It's going to happen. And you all are going to have to increase your faith. You're going to have to increase in life to get there. Yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word. We talked about praying in tongues tonight. I just want you to know right now, whether you know much about it or not, all you have to know is faith. You don't have to have a complete knowledge. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, there's an anointing to receive it right now. And what would happen is you'll come forward. I'll have you pray a prayer. I'll lay hands on you. You'll open your mouth and unknown tongues will come out of your mouth. If you want to receive that and bypass all the thinking about it and what if this, what if that, I'm telling you right now there's an anointing up here for easy receiving of that gift. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive that, something in your heart right now is saying, get up there, get up there. Your mind's telling you, don't move a muscle. But your spirit's saying, get up there, get up there. I'm telling you, it'll be so easy for you right now. That's what's in my heart, easy receiving for that. Easy receiving for that gift. If you want to receive, let's just worship Him and give someone. God's dealing with somebody. God's dealing with somebody. Nobody's going to force you. I'm not going to call anybody by name, but I want to give you an opportunity to receive that gift. It'll change your world. I know the thoughts of people keep you in your seat. I know the thoughts of what if. But no, your pastor's telling you there's an easy receiving anointing for that up here. And it'll come just like that. Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you tonight. We glorify you. We honor you and magnify you. We just worship and praise you. We worship and praise you. Jesus, you're good. We won't take long. I'm not going to. You're either going to obey God or you're not. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Some of us are called to more than the 30 minutes a day, and you know who you are, and you've been prompted. God's dealt with you about that, but we're all called to pray for this church. We can all give 15 to 30 minutes for our church. I'm asking for it. I'm asking for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you. He's so good to us. Here I am disappointed, thinking about how we're not going to, we can't talk about what I wanted to talk about, you know, but He knows better. Hallelujah. Because this is a crucial step in that blessing coming to pass. There's a lot of power trying to keep that money from here. So a lot of power needs to be made to bust that power, because the power we have is greater than the power that's against us. There's more that be with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you. We glorify you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know we're all born again in here. But if you're watching by live stream, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what that means is you've accepted him into your life. God offers you heaven by receiving Jesus. It's easy. It's not church attendance. It's not giving money. It's not jumping through a bunch of religious hoops and doing religious cartwheels. It's simply receiving Jesus. When he died on the cross, there was a criminal next to him that was being punished to death because of what he had done. He was a bad person, what the world would call a bad person. He wasn't a churchgoer. He wasn't moral. His good deeds didn't outweigh his bad. And when he prayed and believed in Jesus, when he confessed Jesus, Jesus didn't say, "You haven't gone to church enough, you're not a good person." No, he accepted him. And so if you're watching and you could say, "I've never received Jesus, I don't care what you've done." Actually, let's pray for this whole place in here. My spirit was just arrested. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry about that, Father. If you're here tonight in this building, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as well as people watching by online, it's so easy. Don't let another moment pass you by. It's the same thing as the person that stayed in their seat when there was easy receiving. You know who you are. Nobody's beating you up about it, but God wants to bring you higher. It's the same with receiving salvation. Something in your spirit, in your heart, is saying, "That's you, that's you. Don't leave without this. Don't leave without this." If you want to receive Jesus tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But if you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus, would you lift your hand high in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. But don't leave tonight. Again, your heart is talking to you. Nobody's trying to embarrass you. Nobody's trying to call you out or point you out. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close? Lift your hand high in the air. I see that hand. You can put it down. You never have to pray that again. You never have to pray that again once you receive it. Is there anybody else who wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand. The obvious, put it down. Nobody's embarrassing anybody. Anybody? Father, we had a hand here, so we thank you. And Lord, if there's more, it's not the hand. And if there's people online, it's not the hand. I can't see their hand. Doesn't matter. But the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So that person that raised your hand, the raising your hand tells me you believe, but now you need to confess it with your mouth according to the word in Romans 10:9. Go ahead and repeat this after me, that person that raised their hand, with everybody in the church and those watching online. Say this with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen." Well, I know it's almost 8:00, but I'll tell you what, it was worth it to me. I'm so thankful. Look at all the people come out tonight. My goodness, God loves you. He appreciates you. Don't forget those donations. And love you. Don't forget to put your offerings in. We'll see you on Sunday morning. You're dismissed.